Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, we've been studying together in this 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. And one thing that I'd like to make very, very clear is that no one has ever been justified before God by the life that he lives. You know, that's the lie of the devil. And what is a knowledge of good and evil? Nobody ever asked that question. Well, a knowledge of good and evil is man's concepts of right and wrong. You know, but man's concepts of right and wrong are always how should I put it? They're always affected by what's right for me and what's wrong for me. Yeah. The ego gets into the end of the thing. And so, he can point a finger at you for the very same thing that he's doing himself. But in you, well, your circumstances are different. You shouldn't be doing that. Now, me, it's okay. Yeah. So there's no absolutes in any of the religious systems of the world. It's all based upon a way which seemeth right unto a man. Now, we've been contrasting in our studies in Hebrews on Wednesday night and our studies in Matthew on Sunday. In both places, we're dealing with Jews. The book of Hebrews, we're dealing with Jews of the diaspora, and many of them had made a profession of faith in Christ. And so the writer to the book of Hebrews, who I believe was Apollos, if you read in your King James Bible, the epistle of Paul, the apostles to the Hebrews. But in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, we find out that these things were confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Paul said, he spent 3 years with the Lord in the wilderness. He didn't have anything confirmed unto him by those others. He had a personal relationship with the Lord, and he was, basically our Lord's arch enemy before his salvation. And really, that's who all of us are, too. We live in this world. We don't think of it because we think of ourselves as being good people, But really, until we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we really are the archenemies of the Lord, because we think according to a way which seemeth right unto a man. Well, what seems right to a man? Well, man, if he's good enough, well, he doesn't have to be perfect. But God demands perfection. God is a God of holiness, righteousness, and justice. And God can't be satisfied with, just say, a stab here and a stab there. It has to be perfect. That's why God became a man through the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He was born into this world, born of a woman, born under the law, All of those things were necessary because God made a covenant relationship with the Jews when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they said, with respect to the law, "Although the Lord has spoken, we will do." Now, if you go back and read that 20th chapter of Exodus, and you say, "All that the Lord has spoken, you will do?" You can't read that list without being convicted. And then the way our Lord interpreted the law, we do things to justify ourselves. But when God takes the law, he demands that it be perfectly fulfilled. Not just, I tried real hard, it takes perfection. God is holy, righteous, just. He's perfect. And he can't exist in the presence of that which is imperfect. Now, we're going to spend the ceaseless ages of eternity with him. So how can we be made perfect? Well, we certainly can't be made perfect by the works of righteousness which we've done. And for me, it happened a long time ago. I was 21 and a half years old when I went home on leave. And my dad had died the previous year. And Mom said, "I'm going to church tomorrow. Would you like to go with me?" That shows how simple it is to get somebody that you pray for people, but you never invite them to church. we'll pray for this one, we're all looking for some sort of a miracle or something to come along and zap this one and zap that one and so on and so forth. But it's very simple. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and by the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, the foolishness of preaching. Well, what is foolish about preaching? Well, the natural man, you and me, if you were saved, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now, what could be more foolish than preaching something that you can't understand in order to give you eternal life? Yeah. From the natural point of view, it seems insane. But we leave out the work of the Spirit of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And the Spirit of God can take that word which the natural man doesn't understand. I didn't understand a thing when Mom said, "Would you like to go to church with me?" And that day I heard the gospel preached. As far as I know, that's the first time I ever heard it preached. And I understood at that moment in time, about all I understood was, "I'm such a sinner." Yeah. That was pretty much it. Yeah. And then we had some special meeting that week, so we were going to church every night. And I was only home for a week, and then we had to go back to Spokane. And then from Spokane to Eielson Air Force Base in Alaska. But, that was all set up in the foreknowledge of God before the foundation of the world. The scripture says of those of us who are redeemed that he chose us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. So from all eternity, there are no failures. People are always talking about, we got to do this, we got to do this to get people saved. No, all we have to do is preach the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and by the foolishness of preaching. Why is it foolish? Because you can't understand, if you're unsaved, you can't understand what I'm talking about. So that's pretty foolish. But the Spirit of God knows, and he can make it alive to you. And he made it alive to me that day. I was born into the family of God. And it's amazing, we think that you have to be raised in the church, taught from year after year after year, and then God will call you into the ministry. I knew I was called into the ministry within 6 months of my salvation. And within a year and a half of my salvation, I was in Bible college studying for the ministry. People say, "Well, you're just a babe in Christ." But from a natural point of view, I would have been. But the bottom line, God put me in a position where I could take in deep, great, huge quantities of the Word of God. And actually, I was preaching within a few months of being saved. Just but simply the way things were set up. I was seeing things in the scriptures that these people that I was attending church with had never seen. And not because I'm smart, That's because God gave me the gift of the ministry. And part of the gift of the ministry is to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So getting people out to hear the word of God, one day the Spirit of God will make it all clear to them. And they'll trust the Lord as their Savior. And you'll rejoice, and they'll rejoice. And then they wonder, I wonder why it took me so long. Yeah. Okay. Now, in this 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, we've been dealing with this term in verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Now, it's an interesting thing. I have a Scofield Reference Bible. There were 8 scholars besides Scofield who made notes to connect you to certain portions of Scripture to help you understand. Okay, and with this, either make the tree good. There's not one reference in the Scofield Bible to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was an evil tree, or the tree of life. That was a good tree. Okay? Now, you would think that you would automatically think of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. See? So make the tree good. Well, everybody in this world thinks according to, quote unquote, a way which seemeth right unto a man. So, you've got your little standards. This one's got their standards. That one's got their standard. Everybody has their own concept of what's right and wrong. So, if it's good for me, it's okay. And so we just live our lives in this world, and we figure, if there is a God, and if we die, surely we've been good enough to go to heaven. When I was about 12 years old, I had a rheumatic fever. I've told this story many times. Rheumatic fever involved an enlarged heart and a murmur. And then also, with that, you have like rheumatism. You ache all over all the time. I used to lay in bed at night and think about what happens if I die, because I was in the process of dying. And I used to think to myself, well, this is what people do. They lie to themselves. They say, surely I'm not so bad that I would go to hell. And you have to do that in that situation. Otherwise, you lay awake and you lay awake like I did last night. When Debbie and Oscar were over last night, I was struggling to stay asleep or stay awake. As soon as they left, it's time for me to go to sleep. I couldn't go to sleep. That's crazy. But it's just the way we think. So when we're talking about trees, we're talking about the tree of life, which the original tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. And all that Adam and Eve had to do was to eat of that tree and live forever. And people want to blame God for this, but God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was the devil who put that tree in the garden. And he promised Eve, Elohim, that's the word for God. It's a plural name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. it's, God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be like God. Now, what do all the religions of the world teach? Eric was talking about this in his message this morning. Basically, everybody teaches that by your morality, you can get into the presence of God. And they never think of it this way. What is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That's a tree of morality. What did God say? Not to eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, what? Ye shall surely die. And Adam or Eve ate of that tree that day, and she died spiritually that day. She didn't die physically. She died spiritually. She was made in the image of God, so the spirit that was within her died when she ate of that tree. And she gave also to her husband, and he did eat, and he died. And Adam is what we call our federal head. So that when Adam ate of that tree, you ate of that tree. I ate of that tree. So in this world, everyone thinks according to a way which seemeth right unto a man, that somehow or other, by the life that we live, that will make us fit for the presence of God. Well, it's not so. That's the devil's lie. Okay. And what did he say to Eve? Oh, Elohim, God. That's the plural form of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be like God. Well, are there some things about morality that we find in our relationship with the Lord? Sure, there's there's good behavior, there's bad behavior. But nobody can get to heaven by their behavior. That's the lie of the devil. Okay. And that's the basis of every religious system in the world. If you go to college, take a class in comparative religions recognize that all religions are based upon morality. But the morality changes from system to system. There are no absolutes. Okay. So that makes man content in his lost condition. And being content in our lost condition is not a good place to be. And back when I had rheumatic fever when I was 12, I used to think about death a lot. And the only way I could get to sleep is to lie to myself. Well, I'm not that bad. Well, 12 years old, how much experience have you got? But it still can't satisfy God. So Jesus says, and this is the basis of everything in the scriptures from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Either make the tree good in verse 33 and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Now, nobody connects this to the Garden of Eden. I've never read a commentator who connects this back there. Schofield, with all of his notes, doesn't connect it to what took place in the garden. Because there's a subtlety about our knowledge of good and evil. That's the best that we could do. How can you find fault with that? Okay. But you can't get to heaven by the best that you could do. It takes a Savior. Okay. And there's only one person. The Jews, when they came out of Egypt, God gave them the opportunity to be under the law. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. When they heard that law given, they should have said, all that the Lord has spoken is impossible for us to do. Because it goes beyond, just touch not, taste not, handle not. It goes completely involved, your thoughts and so on and so forth. Can you control your dreams? Can you control your thoughts? No. No, none of us can, really. You know? And so we lust after this, and we lust after that. And so if we want to get really self-righteous, she shouldn't have worn that dress with that low-cut blouse.
That's right.
We'll blame her. It's her fault. You know. I guess that's where they wore dresses that went clear to the... Yeah. Clear down into the dust in old time. And when a woman would lift her skirt... Now, mind you, this is true. When a woman would lift her skirt to step up on a boardwalk, and a man could see her ankle, wow! Now they show you everything, and I'm not interested, I'm going to go for the boys. Yeah. It's crazy in this world. Yeah. Okay. Our generation of vipers. What is a viper? It's a poisonous snake. No. What is the devil? He showed himself in the garden as a serpent. We don't know what he looked like before he introduced sin. But when God cursed him, then he's a serpent. Okay? And you can see the beauty in serpents. I've been watching, Swamp People. They've been catching pythons down in Florida because people buy pythons for their kids for pets. And the pet, it gets bigger and bigger. Pretty soon, the pet's looking at the kid like, hey, you make a pretty good deal. Yeah, so they just throw them away. And they've infested the swamps of Florida. And they've, you talk about ecology, they've messed up the whole thing. You know, because there isn't much that isn't a prey to a python. You know. And so they've been going down there and catching them. Get $375 for a python, you know. Out there at night with lights. Getting in a position where you can grab it by the head. You know, not something I want to do. Okay. So, we're likened to vipers or poisonous snakes. Our generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil? Now, he's talking to the nation of Israel. And Israel said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But they're evil. Evil, why? Because they think they can satisfy God by the life that they live. And the scripture is very clear. It says, without the shedding of blood is no what?
Remission.
Remission is a payment. See? So God had to become a man through the virgin birth so that as Jesus, he lived his life as a Jew. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. He fulfilled all righteousness, and then he allowed the Jews to sacrifice him on the cross of Calvary. Yeah. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. See? So he goes on here then. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Everyone has idle words. Yeah. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sin. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. When our words agree with God's word. Yeah. In what respect? The scripture says I'm a sinner. Okay, I agree with God. I'm a sinner. And the scripture says that God became a man, lived his life as a Jew, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, had no cause of death in him, but died for my sin and for yours. And if I believe that, he says, I give unto you eternal life, and you shall what? You'll never perish. Yeah. Never. Yeah. You know, 3 years ago, I lost Joanne, and she was, you know, suffered pretty much for the 3 years prior to that. And it was actually a blessing when the Lord took her. But I, at that moment in time, it was a blessing to see her, you know, slip away into the presence of God. And I know, yeah, we cremated her body, and the ashes are out there. Yeah. But Joanne had osteoporosis so badly that I'm sure what they did, you know, is we donated her body, and they cut the bones up into samples for doctor's office so they can show you what severe cases of osteoporosis is like. Ordinarily, in a cremation, you get back about 6 pounds of ground-up bones. That's what they call the ashes. Yeah. We got 7 1/4 ounces back. Yeah. So you know that they chopped them up. And Joanne broke her back. She broke her hip. Actually, what happened, they broke. And just because of the osteoporosis. Yeah. And in this life, we have trouble. You know, the troubles come because of sin. And then once we're saved, we're not immune to that, because it's appointed on the man what? Once to die. You know. Now, I'm 90 and a half years old, you know, and how long I will live, it will be however long the Lord wants me to live. You know. Doctor's got nothing to do with it. Oh, I take medicine and all that, and life would be pretty miserable without it, some of it. But, you know, we just have to recognize death has no fear for me whatsoever. It did when I was a kid, because I wasn't saved. But when the Lord caused the gospel to be preached and quickened it to my heart, I knew that Jesus, who is God, was virgin born so he could live his life as a Jew, so he could fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, so that he could fulfill all righteousness, so that he could die as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist referred to Jesus as, "Behold, the Lamb of God, you know, that taketh away the sin of the world." Okay. So it says, let's pick up at verse 36. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak shall they give account in the day of judgment." And by the way, in that day of judgment, saved or unsaved, we're going to be silent. Yeah. We're not going to be able to offer excuses. Yeah. "The just are to live by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And in the new covenant relationship, because of the sacrifice of Christ, "their sins and iniquities will I remember against them" when?
No more.
No more. Wow, what a promise. Yeah. There's not one of us that deserves heaven, but we have it. "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee." The Jews constantly were looking for signs. Yeah. And we have certain denominations under the canopy of Christianity that are also looking for signs. But that's asking for a sign is unbelief. Yeah. God expects us to believe him without any signs. Okay? "Then so, and he answered and said unto them, An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah." Now, we're coming into spring. And Christ was not, he was not born on December 25th. He was born at the time of lambing. Lambing is in the spring. That's when shepherds watch their flocks by night. Now, the Magi wasn't there until 2 years later. Now, But we have our Christ figures and all this type of thing. And it is so pretty and, and sentimental. And so we've got the Magi, and we've got the shepherds, and the angels, and so on and so forth. But the devil loves to distort the truth so that he can mock the truth. Now, Jesus was born at the time of lambing. How do we know that? Because the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. They do that when their ewes are dropping the lambs. Otherwise, if they dropped them in the in the fold, they're crowded together, the lambs would be trampled to death before they could get to their feet. So, what was it? I can't think of his name right now. I had it's Justice or something like that.
Julius the First.
Yeah, he said Christ was born on December 25th. He was a Roman Pope, so nobody argues with the Pope. But the Scripture does. Lambs aren't born in the winter. Other animals have their young in the winter, but not lambs. That's when the shepherds watch their flocks by night. So he says that the only sign that they're going to be given is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, people go back and mock the fact that Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. But Jesus uses it as a sign in verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, not in the whale, in the great fish, his belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The people that want to mock Scripture, it doesn't say whale in Greek. It says great fish, And so the people who want to mock the Scripture, they say, some of the biggest animals in the sea, whales, eat the smallest, baleen. And they haven't got a throat where they can swallow a man. And so they mock it. Why? Because the translators didn't know what they were talking about. Man by wisdom knew not God. Okay. So as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, or the great fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of earth. So Jesus was crucified on Wednesday afternoon, placed in the tomb at beginning of Jewish Thursday. Was there Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day. At sunset on Saturday is what? The beginning of Sunday, the first day of the week. See? We keep time, Roman time, midnight to midnight. But the Jews keep it sunset to sunset. Okay? So the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they changed their mind. The Ninevites were idolaters. And Jonah went and preached to them. And they repented. Later on, they went back to their old ways. And the queen of Saul shall rise up in judgment with this generation. This is the queen of Sheba. She came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, what? A greater than Solomon is here. So Jesus is God who became a man through the virgin birth, so that he could live his life as a Jew, so that he could fulfill the law, so that he could die as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's the only person that could make such a sacrifice, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good. Your blood, my blood, comes from Adam. And a lot of people don't understand this, but not one drop of a mother's blood flows in a baby's veins. If it happens, you're going to have a miscarriage. Yeah. The baby will die. They're separated. The blood comes from the father. Okay? That's important. Why? Because Eve sinned, but Eve is not the federal head of the human family. Adam is. Yeah. And as an Adam, it says, all die. Okay? So Christ had to be related to Adam so that he could be both God and man. And as the God-man, he went to the cross of Calvary and made a sacrifice for sin, because without the shedding of blood is what? No remission or no payment. So we can't pay for our own sins. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to pay for them. And he went to the cross of Calvary, was crucified, was on the cross 6 hours, and placed in the tomb for 72 hours, and came forth the first day of the week. And then later on, 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. When the devil accuses us, and the scripture says he accuses us night and day, when the devil accuses us, Jesus just points to his blood on the altar. Yeah. Yeah. And God says, case dismissed. Yeah. We can't be charged with sin because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does what? It cleanses us from all sin. Now, if you're not in Christ, that doesn't happen. And it just simply takes an act of faith, believing that Christ died for you the same as he died for me. Okay? And then it says, the queen of the south shall rise. I read that. And then verse 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. And people don't know much about demonology, but it's everywhere present today. Yeah. There's a resurgence. When I look at some of the things that girls are doing to themselves today they've got jewels coming out of everywhere. You know, and tattoos. You know, I don't care if a guy, you know, gets in the Navy, gets drunk, goes out and gets a tattoo, and then, you know, may not be one. So later on, he goes back and has him put a bikini on the nude gal on his chest or whatever. You know. But that man's a sin nature. We sin by nature. And there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So we're not trying to make the world a better place. We're told, go into all the world and do what?
Preach the gospel.
Preach the gospel. And faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. So that's what we do. Now, so he says, okay, when the unclean spirit, verse 43, is gone out of a man and demon possession is becoming more evident, we see some really hideous crimes today and man can't explain them. Well, as it was in the days of Noah, and as, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of Son of Man. Back then, there was a great deal of demon possession. There's going to be more the closer we get to the second coming of our Lord. And then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. So the guy gets rid of the demon, cleans himself up, moral as can be. And then he saith, the unclean demon says, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. When he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. And then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last estate of the man is worse than the first. Self-reformation doesn't do you a bit of good, folks. You can go to AA, you can go here, you can go there, Smokeaholics Anonymous or what, or whatever. But, we can't make ourselves fit for the presence of God. The only thing that can is faith in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So when we believe on Him, He calls us then His children, and He indwells us by His Spirit. And, do we suddenly become perfect? No, we're the same people we always were, and we still have a sin nature, And that's what the world keeps trying to make the counterfeit church keeps trying to make the world think that we're better than everyone else. No, the church is made up of sinners saved by grace, and there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And personal experience tells you that, And so while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Now, people are going to think that this is bloody rude. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? See, in our relationship with the Lord, interpersonal relationships don't matter. We're born into the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And the spiritual relationship's greater than the natural relationship. That doesn't mean that we don't love one another. We certainly do. And he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brother. You guys that believe on me. You're my mother. You're my brother. For whosoever shall do the will of the Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. What is the will of the Father? Believe on the Son. It's not keeping the Ten Commandments or anything of the sort. All they can do is condemn us. But it's realizing that we're a sinner and that Christ died for us. And when he died for us, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin so that we're not accepted on the basis of what we do. We're accepted in the Beloved. So it's the person and work of Jesus Christ in his life that provides salvation for us. The same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So sitting in the ship is like the church in this present age. And Jesus is in the ship, and he spake many things unto them in parable, and he said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now the sower is the Lord, and when he sowed some seeds fell by the wayside. So if you're walking down the middle of River Road and sowing seed out there, they're not going to grow. And when he sows, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And then some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and 30-fold. All of the seed germinates except that which falls by the wayside. So these are different types of believers. Everywhere that you have life, you have a believer. And we have believers that are, pretty carnal. And we have believers that are faithful and so on and so forth. But all it takes to get to heaven is to be a believer. And would to God that we were all faithful and all of that type of thing. But we're not. We're just human beings with eternal life and that's why it's so strange when people look at us and expect to see something different. Yeah. And I was thinking a while back, I was over Eric's, I think it was, and I had an ear beer in my hand. it looks just exactly like the regular one. But I can't drink anything alcoholic anymore because it really raises, raises a fit with my blood pressure, So I found that, I think it's Coors, I'll give them an ad, or Coors. Yeah, Coors makes the best, near beer that's available right now. When I was a kid, near beer was awful. Oh, that's terrible. Anyway, but you get to thinking, people looking at me, they don't all know me, but they all know I'm a pastor. What's that pastor doing drinking that beer? Well, there's nothing wrong with drinking a beer. What does the scripture say? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is what?
Excess.
As long as you're not drunk, you haven't committed a crime. In the past, if we're going to keep communion, for example, Jesus instituted at the time of Passover, which is in the spring, and when is the vintage of grapes? In the fall. And if you get from the fall to the spring, the grapes are either going to rot, or if you squeeze the juice out of them, they can ferment, or you're going to have vinegar. But, you can't get fresh grapes from the fall to the spring without making them into wine. Okay? That's why, when we keep the communion service, it's unleavened bread, which speaks of Christ's sinless body, and the blood in him is what?
No sin at all.
No sin at all. So as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what? You show forth the Lord's death till he come. And over a period of time, the churches have managed to corrupt that so that if you're not worthy, you can't drink of it. Well, what in the world do they consider worthy? That was a strange circumstances with a prostitute priestess at Corinth, and that has nothing to do with everything that man thinks it is. Thus far as in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we look at the public ministry of our Lord to Jews under the law, they said all that the Lord has spoken we will do, but they could not. And so he used the law lawfully to show them their guilt so that they would turn to the sacrificial system, which would point them by faith to his one sacrifice for sin forever. Bless now at each heart and life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.